Please be seated for the sermon. Good morning. This is the Passion Week service. And as we share God's Word, we will have a communion service. But before we do the communion service, I would like to share the Word with you. Please open your Bibles. We will be studying Romans chapter 8, verse 32 in the New Testament. So let us read it. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He did not spare us, his own Son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? The love of God is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is love without limits, without boundaries, without failure, and without conditions. It is a love that loves when we say it loves. When we encounter this love, when we are touched by this love, when we are surrounded by this love, when we awake to this love, we hang our heads and we naturally kneel before it. And then the tears flow out. We are so sorry because we realize we have lived without understanding and knowing that love. We want to repay and respond to this love that we have lived without realizing, even if only a little, even a millimeter, as we confess, "I love you too," and decide in our hearts, "I will live while loving you." But the fact remains that God continues to keep us alive in his love. But I, on my side, seriously reflect on whether or not I can live in that love and whether I am really living while loving God in that love. I am forced to admit that I still do not love, that I do not love God, that I still do not really love Jesus Christ. When I have said, "I love you," I am forced to admit that my words are a lie. That's because, as the Apostle John said, if a man says he loves God but hates his brother, he is a liar. And he said that he who does not love his brother whom he sees cannot love a God whom he does not see. I can only confess that I have lived in a place where it's impossible to say that I could have lived even 1 week, even last week, without the slightest bit of hatred towards others. And in fact, I can only have conditional love, a love that is limited, a love that has boundaries and edges. I have no choice but to honestly admit that I was not looking up to Jesus on the cross, but was pretending to love, that I was unconsciously lying and saying it was love, a kind of love that is not a true love, a kind of love that I had mended in comparison with others, or according to my own sense of value. There was a medieval nun in Spain, Avila, who made an honest confession, and this is in my mind. She said, "O Lord, I do not love you. Not only that, I do not want to love you, but I still want to love you." When we are guiding ourselves, we say things like this. We realize that we do not love, that we don't even really want to love, but we say we want to love. And yet, despite our imperfect human love, the Lord Jesus' love is unwavering. When he says he loves, he truly loves. There is no limit to his love. When he says he forgives through his love. When he says he does not spare, when he will give anything, it is a love that does not give any does not have any limit. And last week, when I was listening to and translating the message by Reverend Paul Kim, my wife and I had a bit of an argument about how I interpreted his message. I never forget the Monday before last when we were driving back from Mito after running some errands. My wife suddenly suggested to me, "Why don't you ask someone who speaks English really well, better than you perhaps, to interpret Paul's sermon instead of you?" If you listen to my translation, Paul's sermons are written in a manuscript, but he speaks freely according to God's leading at the time. And it's difficult to interpret if you're not used to it. And so my wife, concerned about my lack of English ability, made the suggestion out of the goodness of her heart. But I was offended when she suggested that. I was so angry, and I said, "What are you talking about? What are you saying? You cannot interpret a sermon by language ability, but by the help, work, and grace of the Holy Spirit who is in me, and through Reverend Paul." As a pastor's wife, how can you not understand that? Why do you say things of such unbelief? You know that it's my dream to interpret Reverend Paul's working here in Megumi Church's service. I am working hard to prepare, and don't underestimate me. And before you say such a thing, pray. And after that, my wife felt sorry for me, and she would talk to me. But from then, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night, the day before Reverend Paul arrived from the U.S., I would not speak to her properly. My belly was standing, as the Japanese say. I was irritated. I was angry. And I made up for it by reminding myself, this is not right, and we can make up, even though Reverend Paul will be here tomorrow. But I realized that this is the limit of my own love. You know, at my wedding, with tears in my eyes, I was the one who was asked, "Do you promise to fulfill your portion as a husband, according to God's teachings, to always love, honor, comfort, and help your wife without change, and to be steadfast in your discipline toward her in health, in sickness, in richness, in poverty, and in the day of her death?" And I said, in a loud voice, "Yes, I promise before God and man." And though I said, "Yes, I promise before God and man," I must admit that I do not have a love for her. Our love, the love we see in this world, is conditional. It is give-and-take love. When we do not receive as much as we give, we feel resentful. We feel disappointed and lonely. We are frustrated and angry in our hearts. Our love, the love of this world, feels burdened that if we have received, we must give back. And we feel burdened even though we receive love. Our love, the world's love, is finite. Human love is not abundant. Human existence itself is finite. Just as resources are finite and supplies are finite, we cannot keep on giving. And no matter how much we possess, we humans feel that we do not have enough. There's no such thing as satisfaction in human life, and none in human love. It's somehow inadequate, unstable, insecure, irregular shape, bumpy. Human love does not last long. It has a lifespan. No matter how long it lasts, it ends with death. It cools down just when you think it's hot, and just when you think it's passionate, it grows weary. When we become a little accustomed to it, we begin to treat it roughly, and even to despise it. And our love in this world, is a love that discriminates. We love the object that we love and we prefer. We love our allies. And we think if it is our side, it is right without condition. And yet our love, the world's love, is promiscuous and thoughtless. Sometimes we hate without reason. Sometimes we kill without reason through our hate. Sometimes our hate is violent and disrespectful. Our hate does violence in the name of love and hurts in the name of love. But the love of the cross accepted that it would be wounded itself for the sake of its love. Instead of ending up wounded, he loved us so much that he even followed us to death. And so we must know, we must experience God's love. Our eyes must be open to the love of Jesus Christ, who came to this earth for our love and died on the cross for love. We must open our eyes. We must experience God's love through Jesus Christ. The love of the cross loves even the most difficult of us, even those in the most difficult situation. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. It's about page 860 in the Brown Bibles. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? The love of the cross of Jesus Christ is a love that loves the weak, the ungodly, sinners, and even those of us who have been enemies of God. This mystical love that loves those who are the most difficult to love in the world is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the love of his cross. How can God, who did not spare even his own Son, but gave him up to die for us all, not also give us all things with love? This is love. This love is a love that has endowed us with the things that cannot be compared to gold or silver, or to anything else in the universe. The love of the cross is the love that God the Father freely gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, to us. This is more than the love of a mother or a father for their children. But even then, we have regrets. Yet, God the Father sacrificed His only Son willingly and without regret for us. It is a love with no reserve, nothing held back. The Bible refers to Christians, to those who believe in Christ, as His bride. But in the Middle Ages, Martin Luther, the religious reformer, who started the movement to return to the word of the Bible in Christian church, which had drifted away from it, Martin Luther says that before we became the bride of Jesus, we were like prostitutes. So Jesus, in His love, by loving us when He said He would love us, He marries us, a prostitute, and becoming our bridegroom, He says He has made us holy and beautiful. When the bride and groom marry, they become one body, and they jointly own both the good and the bad together. But the Bible tells us that Jesus, the groom, took all the bad things that we, the bride, have, and gave all good things to His bride. The groom gave all the good things to His bride. This is the love of Jesus. Because of the love of that bridegroom, we can have rest. As human beings, we go through life carrying our burden, and the heaviest burden we carry is the burden of sin. When we live our lives with the burden of sin, hurting and tormenting each other, we live with this terrible desire for revenge. And we cling in our lives to that desire for vengeance. And because of this hatred and desire for vengeance, we cannot rest. There's nothing more exhausting than hatred. But Jesus carries even that heavy hatred. Jesus is the only one who does bear this burden that no one else can bear. Jesus is not one who wants to be worshipped by others. Rather, He is the one who blesses us with the best of what is good, making us His precious bride. He blesses us. And so, it is only at the foot of the cross of Jesus that we can lay down our burdens. There's a book that has been around for hundreds of years and has been read continuously since then. It was written by John Bunyan. It's called Pilgrim's Progress. And he describes in his story how the heavy burden on our backs is taken away by the cross of the Lord Jesus. For hundreds of years, Christians have continued to read this book to understand how Jesus takes away our burdens. We feel it. We feel this burden. And when we read this book, we can understand how Jesus has lightened it, has taken it away from us. Now, this week is Passion Week, and we remember Jesus' atonement for our sins on the cross. Again, we should give thanks for the love of the cross. We should once again remember this grace of being able to entrust all our heavy burdens to Jesus. And we can entrust them with faith so that we may obtain the rest that he gives us. Don't you think so? And what do we leave to Jesus? What do we place in his hands? When we say, I put it in your hands, God. I put it in your hands, Jesus. When we think of the cross, I hope that this will be a week that teaches us just how heavy the burden is that we have laid on Jesus. I hope that this week will help our souls to understand the peace that Jesus offers us. So let us pray.